It's the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer Kent and the Wisconsin Eye, Public Affairs Network is just like C-SPAN, an independent nonprofit broadcasting as much as it can at the Capitol, but it's just for Wisconsin. With a funding plan now in place to help this public service, let's find out more about how this C-SPAN but just for Wisconsin operates. And you can call in with a question or share your views, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email's always available to you anytime, ideas@WPR.org. John Hankus is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network, also known as WisEye. And John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
It's a wonderful morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it, Lee. Thanks.
Yeah, welcome. And is my comparison apt? How does Wisconsin Eye compare to C-SPAN, John?
Well, we often refer to Wisconsin Eye as the state's version of C-SPAN. So on that count, you're absolutely right on. We're different in a few ways. One is that we are not funded in whole or largely by state government or any one large entity. You know, C-SPAN out in D.C. was created as a product of the cable TV industry, and they're still pretty heavily involved. We'd like to think that we do it a little bit better because we have a little bit more independence, but it's a very close comparison, yes.
And give us some idea, John, what a day in the life at Wisconsin Eye is like, that work happening behind the scenes to figure out how you're going to broadcast the hearings, the floor sessions, and everything else that's taking place at the Capitol.
It's a day-to-day challenge. We have a small production staff, and they work incredibly hard. We are under contract with the Wisconsin legislature, with both houses, the Senate and the Assembly. And that contract gives us the access to have the cameras installed. We are required to make sure that we produce live coverage of the floor sessions, all of the Joint Finance Committee hearings during budget years, and then a number of the committee hearings. So we're not bound to cover everything. So to your question, on a busy day in the Capitol, when there might be 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 events going on, we have to make a call based on what are we required, first and foremost, to cover. And then secondarily, it's a bit of a subjective judgment as to whether we cover the Assembly hearing on this or the Senate hearing on that. So we get a little bit of pushback. Why didn't you cover my committee hearing? But all in all, we cover the Capitol pretty thoroughly on a day-to-day basis, even on those busy days. And what's really interesting to manage is we have the capacity right now, Lee, to fully produce 2 live streams from the Capitol. And by that, I mean we can drop in real time the lower third graphics and give a little bit more enrichment to what you see on your monitor or on your TV set. We can also produce up to 3 additional live streams, but without those further enhancements. So on a busy day, there might be 8 or 9 events. We can produce 5 in real time live. Now, with the endowment campaign in place, we achieve that endowment goal, and we'll be able to ramp those numbers up. I mean, we're already planning a year and a half down the road to take those 2 fully produced programs up to 4 and take the total number up to 8 or 9. Obviously, that involves more equipment, more gear, additional staff. But our mission is to, as best we can and as thoroughly as we can, provide citizens with access to what's happening in the Capitol.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network, and our guest is the network president and CEO, John Hankus. And you can join our conversation with your questions. If you've used Wisconsin Eye in the past, your comments, 1-800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. So you mentioned this new funding agreement. WisEye is set to receive $10 million in state tax dollars. That is, if the network can match the dollar amount in private donations, John. So lawmakers approved this funding last May. Why does WisEye need this state? I think you kind kind of answered that, but you know, why do you see increasing the access to the capital providing for the state?
Well, when we were first started and went on the air in May in 2007, it became very evident to us that our primary audience, those who used it most often, it was an effective tool for state elected officials, for lobbyists, for advocacy groups, the news media, local government officials. But over time, more and more, there seems to be this growing interest in politics, in elections, in election outcomes. We are seeing more and more just regular citizen engagement in viewing the network. So we made a case with the legislature. You've not supported us in the past other than one time prior to the pandemic when we needed to replace the cameras in the Capitol. And the state participated in partially funding that effort along with a mix of private dollars. And then in the pandemic, when fundraising went absolutely in the tank, both the governor's administration and the legislature provided a needed shot in the arm. This is different. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to create a permanent endowment for Wisconsin Eye. And once achieved, that $20 million account will generate more than enough money to provide for the day-to-day operations as we currently exist. But just as significantly, perhaps more importantly, it allows us to really move the vision forward, make enhancements, increase access, do some things that we'd like to do, but we don't have the resources. I'll give you one example.
Yeah.
A few years ago, prior to pandemic, when fundraising was going pretty strong, we had additional dollars to do some documentary work, all under the umbrella of civic knowledge. And so we created a mini documentary series called Dealing with Dementia and went around the state talking with folks at all levels about this booming baby boom population into senior citizenship and the growing numbers of dementia and Alzheimer's, and how are we as communities and states dealing with that. It was pretty provocative, and it was very heart-rending with some of the stories that we told. We won some awards for that, and then on the heels of that, we did a full-blown documentary called Straightforward, The Truth About Addiction, where we told the story of five young 20-ish-year-old Wisconsinites of diverse backgrounds and experiences, all of whom were fighting through addiction to opioids. And I personally took that documentary to all school assemblies around the state and shared that with students. And we always would have a counselor with us or a pediatric neurologist, and we'd engage the kids in Q&A afterwards. And eyes were opened because it was a medically sound discussion of what happens to the teenage brain as it matures and why addiction becomes a lifelong challenge for these kids. So back to the point of the endowment, we will have excess funds beyond our operating budget to do some of this other really important work. So we're excited about the possibilities.
So the Wisconsin Eye is set to receive $10 million in state tax dollars. If you can match the dollar amount in private donations, what's the status of this matching grant program this morning, John?
It's a slow process.
Okay.
Wisconsin Eye is never first in line when it comes to charitable giving and putting our hand out and saying, please, would you? We're relatively a small, young organization when you compare us to other entities with full-blown fundraising staffs. I mean, it's essentially the board and myself on the road asking for consideration of funds. So here's the status. The very first gift to the endowment campaign was Chris Abley, the former Milwaukee County exec, whose family has a foundation called the Argosy Foundation. They made a $50,000 commitment. Well, immediately that becomes doubled in the endowment equation. The next three who participated at that same level of 50,000 were three of our unions in the state, the operating engineers, Local 139, the Carpenters Union, and the Laborers Union, which is really exciting to us because we want balance in this funding as well. Not that it would have influence in programming decisions, but we feel it's really important, just like our coverage, to extend balance and fair play. Right now, there's over $3 million in active asks that are under consideration around the state. And this would be individuals, foundations, national foundations, and businesses. And the strategy moving forward is we've kind of carved up the state, identified some potential leaders in each of those regions, and go for regional fundraising goals. And then the other strategy is we are engaging and collaborating with a number of sectors within the economy. These are all sectors that are concerned about public policy and regulation, and they have state issues, and they have lobbyists. So we're looking at the utility sector, the insurance, the legal, the technology, manufacturing, and the hospitality sectors as participants in this fundraising campaign as well. Bottom line, it's going well. It's a slow process.
Are you confident we're going to get there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I am absolutely confident.
The
value is there.
And
here's one evidence, Lee, of what's happening. Since the pandemic, viewership of Wisconsin Eye, we have had over 750,000 live and on-demand views of Wisconsin Eye programming in the last 3 years. 200,000 unique visitors. Our best performing year was last year, which was double what it was in 2021, which was also a state budget year. And last year, just in October, we achieved our highest viewed live program of 27,000 viewers. And that was the Joint Committee on Employment Relations, which was discussing the UW system pay increases, and Assembly Speaker Voss on the diversity, equity, and inclusion issue. So interest is growing, and with interest growing, our brand is growing and awareness is growing. And we believe that that $20 million goal is achievable.
You're listening to the State Capitol Report, and our guest is John Henkes, President and CEO of Wisconsin Eye. You can call in with your questions, thoughts about the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network and how you use it, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest is President and CEO of Wisconsin Eye, John Henkes. John's been with Wisconsin Eye since the very beginning, co-founding the nonprofit that began broadcasting in 2007. Still time for your comments or questions for John at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And John, we got a big election year this year. We've got the Republican National Convention coming to Milwaukee in July. How is Wisconsin Eye preparing for the upcoming convention and elections?
Let's start with the latter first. We have a history now of providing unique campaign coverage in the form of in-depth 20-minute interviews, which we invite participation by every candidate in the general election running for statewide and federal office. And the participation rate this last time around was about 86%. So we go to about 10 or 11 different locations around the state. We sit down and we ask and get to know the candidates and put their positions out. We share that then with Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, with the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, with commercial news media, all in our commitment to help voters better understand who these folks are beyond sound bites and TV commercials. So we'll do that again this year. And then with regard to the Republican National Convention, we're still planning what our focus will be. We don't want to be just like every other media entity covering the event. So we're working to have access to the Wisconsin delegation on a daily, sometimes twice a day basis, where we can talk with convention delegates. We also plan to do some enrichment of, you know, what goes into all of this, the platform, the positions, what are the issues. And then in the spirit of balance and fair play, we will be working with those on the left side, the Democrat Party, to have their reactions and their inputs as well. So the convention is still a work in progress. We want to be different. We want to provide something that's Wisconsin focused, and we'll see what pops. But we got bright people and folks helping us to think through that piece of it.
Yeah, last year before the primary election for State Supreme Court, Wisconsin, I interviewed three of the four candidates running for an open seat there. And let's listen here to the part of the network's interview with the eventual winner, Janet Protasiewicz.
My judicial identity is for always for fairness, for integrity, for anybody coming in front of me anytime to know that they're going to get a fair shot, to know that I'm going to look at the law, to know that I'm going to be independent.
John, Wisconsin I was unable to interview one of the candidates, Jennifer Darrow, a Waukesha County judge. And when it comes to, you know, access, how do you fairly cover a candidate who may be unavailable to interview?
It's their choice to participate or not. I do remember with that particular candidate, we offered to come on site, and it was a campaign management decision to not participate in that interview. And there's really nothing we can do at that point. I mean, when you extend multiple opportunities to a candidate to either come to Madison or we'll meet you where you would like us to meet you, there's not much you can do, Lee. You give it your best shot.
In a bigger picture, in the media overall, how do you defend the network against accusations of bias or political bias, and how do you shoot right down the middle?
Again, it's day to day. Here's the rub. We will hear from the left side that we're leaning right, and we hear from the right side that we're leaning left. And we say, wonderful, we're doing our job. But the reality is the Republicans are running the agenda in the state legislature. So the temperature and the tone is set by the GOP. And we're bound to be there to cover official state proceedings. Now, in the sense of balance and fair play, we do a whole lot more than just cover those required official state proceedings. Last year, in addition to those proceedings, so floor sessions, committee hearings, we covered 430 events in addition, news conferences, rotary speeches, state bar mock trial, but a whole lot of things that wrap around state policy. And I can tell you, we ran the numbers of all of those events. Our board considered 245 of the 430 to be neutral, 105 leaning toward the Democrat side, and 80 leaning toward the Republican side. So in addition, then we do studio interviews beyond that other ancillary coverage. Last year, we interviewed in studio 51 individuals involved in state policy. 24 of those we considered to be neutral, such as having the head of the DNR's deer management program come in the fall and talk about the deer herd. So 24 neutral, 15 Democrat-leaning, 12 Republican-leaning. We are really attentive to the sense of balance and fair play. And as it relates to the state capitol coverage, the key words there are access, transparency, consistent coverage. As it relates to those other events, it's all about fair play and balance and accuracy. And then as it relates to the studio interviews, it's about diversity of opinion and civil dialogue. We don't want people yelling at each other. We don't want name calling. We moderate those conversations so that they truly are civil, instructional, informative, and hopefully memorable.
Hey, John, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
We appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much.
John Henkes is president and CEO of Wisconsin Eye. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is the Ideas Network. State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And at the end of November, State Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard announced that she would step down from her leadership post in order to run for Dane County Executive. The next day, Democratic state senators elected our next guest as their next leader. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein was first elected to the State Assembly in 2012 and the State Senate in 2022, where she now represents a district that includes parts of Dane, Iowa, Greene, Columbia, and Sauk counties. And you have a direct line to our guest right now. You can call in with your question or comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Senator Hesselbein, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much for having me this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I want to start by getting your thoughts on former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl. He served three terms in the U.S. Senate as a Democrat, passed away 2 days after Christmas. What do you see as Senator Kohl's legacy here in Wisconsin?
What a statesman. Herb Kohl was just an amazing person. You know, he wasn't just a great legislator or a great businessman, though. I know people are keep talking about that. But I want to focus, I guess, on Herb Kohl's kindness. I met him a few times and spent a little bit of time for him when I was on the Dane County Board. We went to a few things together. And he was always so kind to talk with me, to hear what was happening in the district, real local issues, and then how to move forward. Herb's a legend. What a life.
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective. You were selected last month by fellow Democrats in the Senate to be their next leader. What are your priorities for this position, Senator?
Well, the main, you know, priority when you're in the minority is to get into the majority. So on that level, we're going to be, and we have been, recruiting great candidates, raising money. We're going to be listening to voters at the doors all year, and then we're going to win. Those are the main things we need to be focusing on.
Well, with that in mind, the state Supreme Court has now ruled that Wisconsin's legislative maps are unconstitutional, and they're ordering new ones to be drawn as we speak. What might this mean for you, and how would you like to see these new maps be created?
Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court affirmed what the majority of Wisconsinites already know, that the state's gerrymandered, highly partisan legislative maps are unconstitutional. And we've been dealing with this for more than a decade. But with fair and constitutional maps that are going to be happening, we really have a shot to have fair maps in the state of Wisconsin. So issues that are popular in Wisconsin, like Medicaid expansion, paid Family Medical Leave Act, child care counts, cannabis legislation, labor rights, gun safety, LGBTQ plus rights, public school funding, fair and targeted tax relief can all happen if we have fair maps. And that's what we're going to be hoping that the Supreme Court does.
Our guest, new state Senate Minority Leader, Democratic Senator Dianne Hesselbein of Middleton, and you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Senator Hesselbein, as Minority Leader now, what's your dialogue like with your Republican colleagues? What's your relationship like with Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux? How do you work across the aisle?
Well, one of the, I think when Senator Lemieux was first elected to the Assembly, I was there as well, and we worked on a bill together that we passed the Assembly and did pass the Senate. So I've known him for years. When I was first elected Minority Leader, he reached out to congratulate me, as did Senator Kapenga, and we sat down within a few weeks just to talk about our priorities moving forward, if there are ways we can work together, and just to have that open dialogue communication.
Yeah. So going forward in this 2024 here, what do you see as is there common ground for Republicans and Democrats in the state Senate as you see it?
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about, I know the Republicans are rolling out a medical marijuana proposal today. We'll see what that looks like. I have had a medical marijuana proposal for years, and I have intentionally held off releasing it because I've been talking with some of the Republican members and trying to figure out what that bill would look like. So we'll see what that looks like. We have to do something about PFAS for the Department of Natural Resources. Currently, the Senate passed a bill that was short-sighted, and we really need to let the scientists do their job. So I'm hoping we can go back to that issue within the last few months and clean up that bill so we can pass something to give much-needed relief to our environment.
Yeah, Senator Hesselbein, can you explain a little bit more about this PFAS legislation that passed and why it doesn't go far enough from your perspective?
Sure. The legislation, I think, was authored by Senator Coles and Senator Wimberger, really didn't let the Department of Natural Resources scientists get in there to figure out where the PFAS was coming from and then deal with the issue. It was really hamstringing the department. So, like I said, I'm hoping we can go back and do some cleanup literally on that bill and for the environment as well.
And when it comes to potential marijuana legislation in Wisconsin, there is some form of legal marijuana, mostly surrounding the state surrounding Wisconsin at this point. Is there support among Democrats in the state Senate for a recreational marijuana legislation? And would medical marijuana be the common ground between Democrats and Republicans? How might this play out in 2024?
Well, I think we're going to have to look at the details of the bill. I saw Speaker Voss being interviewed this weekend saying it's going to be the most restrictive in the country. So that, makes me worry. So I think medical marijuana is a step in the right direction. They've been floating this idea for years, but they have yet to move on medical marijuana or recreational marijuana. So the details are super important. And I want to be sure that we're not choosing winners and losers for pain, people that are in pain. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to reading the bill and seeing if maybe the Democrats can get behind it. We'll see.
Do you see from the perspective of Republicans who would want the most restrictive medical marijuana law in the country, do you see where they're coming from? Do you understand what their argument might be about legalization to some degree of marijuana?
I listen to what they say, but it doesn't always make sense to me, I'll be honest. So I think with every state around us with legalizing, and certainly after Colorado did, my gosh, how long ago was that now? We've been able to see what has worked in other states and what hasn't worked. And honestly, the bill that Senator Eggard puts forward every 2 years kind of takes all of that into account. It changes a little bit when we learn more about the issue. So I think it's been really reflective about what it needs to be for recreational marijuana. I'm hopeful that someday we can get there. But this is definitely maybe a step in the right direction. But like I said, I don't know what the bill says. It could be going in the opposite direction. I have no idea what this bill looks like.
Senator Hesselbein, do we have any, have any understanding since the legalization of marijuana in Michigan and Illinois, what sort of effect that has had on Wisconsin?
Not that I know of off the top of my head, but I do know, they're getting those dollars there instead of them spending it here. And those are people from Wisconsin that are going across state lines to get the marijuana that they would like.
Yeah. Democratic Senator Dianne Hesselbein of Middleton, our guest, and we invite you to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Jane and Suamico, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if she could speak to the abortion ban bill that's continuing to make its way through the legislature. In the Senate, it's SB 300. I'm not sure what the assembly number is, but I believe it's an abortion ban.
Senator Hesselbein?
Sure. I'm happy to talk about how women should be able to make their own reproductive choices all over the United States, not just in the state of Wisconsin. So I am hopeful that, right now, Dane County judge has said that it's legal. I heard over the weekend, some Republicans were talking about another bill to make abortion legal up to 20 weeks or something like that. So I just believe that women should be able to have full autonomy over their body and be able to decide when and when they'd like to be pregnant, if they'd like to be pregnant.
But in a legislative minority, what can you do to defend those rights as you support them legislatively? What role will you play as a Senate minority leader in defending that?
Well, definitely, if it comes to the floor, talking about the importance of women having, you know, the right to do what they want with their own bodies, and that politicians don't belong in the rooms. I mean, I don't like to be in the doctor's office any more than anybody else does, but I shouldn't have any say over what's happening in anybody else's doctor's meeting. So just talking about that and encouraging the governor when these abortion bans come up to veto them. That's what we can do.
Jane, thank you so much for the question, and we invite yours as well at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. You're listening to the State Capitol Report, and our guest is Senator Dianne Hesselbein of Middleton. She's the new minority leader of the Democrats in the state Senate, and you can call in with your question or thoughts for the senator this morning. Our conversation continues. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Your State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest is the new leader for Democrats in the state Senate. So what questions do you have for Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein? Or what would you like her to know? Call in with a question or your comments, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. And Senator Hesselbein, you mentioned earlier about expansion of Medicaid in Wisconsin. You introduced a bill late last year that would expand Medicaid in Wisconsin through the Federal Affordable Care Act. As I understand it, Wisconsin remains one of just 10 states that have yet to expand Medicaid. Democrats have repeatedly pushed to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin. Is there any progress in the legislature as you see it as getting Republicans on board?
Well, one of the things I keep doing when I talk to my Republican colleagues is I'm trying to figure out why. I've been wondering why for a long time, because they kept changing the reason why they didn't want Medicaid expansion, because majority of Wisconsinites have long supported expanding Badger Care and saving our state $1.6 billion. So at first, you know, it was they thought that the Affordable Care Act was going to go away if after Barack Obama was no longer going to be president, and then Donald Trump became president and the Affordable Care Act still stands. They thought they were going to be able to undo the Affordable Care Act, but they couldn't. So that was one of the issues. And then when Joe Biden became president, I said, see, now under a Republican and a Democratic president, we still have the Affordable Care Act. Therefore, can't we do Medicaid expansion like all the other states besides, you know, being one of 10? And they still haven't come up with a reason why, except, you know, well, it's federal. I don't understand why they don't like federal programs, because we take federal monies for all sorts of things, for schools, for roads. So I don't understand what it has to do with this form of health care, why they're leaving so many people in the state of Wisconsin behind.
So what would you say to your Republican counterparts in an argument that Wisconsin should now expand Medicaid for the state?
I would say, show me why not. I can show you why. I can show you the other states that have done it. I can tell you that, you know, Chris Christie did this when he was governor, and all the other Republican governors that made this decision. This isn't a Democratic or a Republican issue. This is honestly a people issue, and it honestly helps the people in our state that don't make enough money, that would help them have really great health insurance and health care, which is what we want, to keep people healthy. So tell me why not, and maybe we can go from there. But as of yet, the only reason I've gotten in conversations is they don't want to take federal money.
So are we already paying for expanded Medicaid through the federal government, but not receiving it from the state because the state won't expand it? Is that the case?
Yeah, we're paying, so our state dollars are going to pay for this health care instead of getting it from the federal government. So if we would take the money from the federal government, we could use that money for health care. And then I think it was a few years ago, President Biden even put sort of a nice little incentive in there. I think it was like, I don't even remember how many, $1 million, $1 billion, something where it would be like, if you take this, we will give you more money to do what you want with it. And even that, the Republican Party, the Republicans that I talked to didn't like that. So I'm not sure their rationale. I'd love it if they're listening today to give a call in, because I'd love to have that conversation.
That phone number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, where Tina in Green Bay is standing by. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning. I'm just wondering if there's been any talk, or if there's going to be anything coming up about affordable or low-income housing, because there's such a huge need. And, you know, just piggybacking off what you said, I work for Managed Health Services of Wisconsin. I work with low-income women every day who use Medicaid, and an expansion would be so great in this state. And I think legislators who are not up for that should maybe have a better conversation with their constituents, because there's a huge need out there for people for both of those things.
Tina, thank you so much for the question and the comment. So, Senator Hesselbein, we've talked about this on this show, about the need for affordable housing and a housing crisis that exists not just in Wisconsin but across the country right now. Are there any updates at the state legislative level on making housing more affordable for more people in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, Tina, thanks so much for calling and asking that question. And also, when it comes to healthcare, you mentioned you're in Green Bay. Please reach out. I think your senator is Senator Wimberger. Please reach out to him and let him know that you care about these issues. Everybody around the state of Wisconsin should talk to their state senator or state representative and let them know what matters to them. You can send an email to them, or you could give a call to the office, but those things are really important. As far as, you know, affordable housing, that is a crisis we see all over the United States, not just in Wisconsin. The first thing, we did put a few bills out there to help with this, some incentives, but we need to be doing more. So I would look, I know we put a package of bills, the Democrats put a package of bills out, boy, I think 3 or 4 months ago. Take a look at that. Those are things that if the Democrats were in charge of the state legislature, that we'd be able to do to help people get into affordable housing, because it's a crisis everywhere, whether you're living in a rural area or an urban area. It's a real problem.
Let's go to Rosa now in Waterford. Rosa, good morning. You're on the air with Senator Dianne Hesselbein.
Hey, good morning. So the reason the Republicans don't want federal government, because we don't want the federal government telling us how to run our state. For example, when Obama became president, one of the first things he did on his first few days was tell the state, you better have transgender boys in girl bathrooms, otherwise we're going to take federal money away for the schools, for the state schools. That is why the Republicans, common sense Republicans, do not want federal money in our state.
And that's because you were concerned that the federal government would control what Wisconsin can do, Rosa?
Of course.
Okay.
Look at the federal government now. It's over $30 trillion in debt. Because Republicans lead, the state budget, Wisconsin, is great because Republican common sense monetary policy is keeping it at bay. Look at the federal government. It's ridiculous that they don't know how to budget. We're still fighting this. And we don't want transgender boys in girls' bathrooms.
I am glad you called, Rosa, and thank you so much for the perspective. And our state budget has a surplus. The federal budget runs a deficit. Senator Hesselbein, would this be the expansion of Medicaid? Would that change the control over what Wisconsin can do?
I don't believe so. I think, Rosa, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. But, you know, we take federal money for so many other programs in our state. So I don't see how this would be an overreach for the federal government at all, but I do appreciate you calling in and telling me your perspective.
And she also brought up transgender issues and issues that have been a concern for some about equality, access, LGBTQ issues. Senator Hesselbein, where do the Senate Democrats stand on this?
So, we stand with the LGBTQ plus community, and we don't see these issues as being something that people need to worry about. There's maybe one instance where somebody felt badly about something, and then all of a sudden, you know, there are all these flurry of bills to hurt the people that are transgender in our state, whether it be K-12 education or higher education or who can play in sports and all that sort of thing. We've got a lot of issues in the state of Wisconsin. And honestly, the people in the LGBTQ community, they deserve our love and support, not our nitpicking and not our and not are being mean to them, quite frankly. So I think it's really unfortunate when these things happen, but I just want to make it clear to anybody listening that the Democrats stand with the people in the LGBTQ community, full stop.
We're talking with the new state Senate Minority Leader, Senator Dianne Hesselbein of Middleton, and there's still time for your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Senator Hesselbein, you're sponsoring a bill that would allow for greater tax deductions for college savings accounts. Please explain what this bill would do.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, it's SB 752. It had public hearing last week. It's a bipartisan bill. I've been working on this. It's called EdVest for years. It makes some simple, necessary changes to increase the accessibility of college and apprenticeship programs for young people. Basically, when you have a young person in your life, you can give some money for EdVest. It'll hold on to that account tax-free until that person is older if they decide to go on to post-secondary school, whether that be a trade, apprenticeship, or any type of college. University stuff. Grandparents do this too. They save money for this. So it's letting people increase their how much they want to be putting in that a year tax free. And we think it's great. We heard about affordability with higher education when I was on a task force for Governor Evers on student loan debt. And this is a small way that we can help future students be able to afford higher education, whatever that looks like for them.
Have an email here from Dave, ideas at WPR.org is our email address. He's asking about a series of bills that have been introduced in the Senate, he says, on voting restrictions, which include things like citizenship requirements. Have there been any studies about how much these bills would cost to implement and the effect they would have?
No, Dave, I don't know. Those just, I believe, came out. So we're going to be trying to get a memo on that to see how much those ideas would cost. You know, that's one of the things when you put out a bill, there's usually a fiscal estimate. So we have to wait some time for that, for them to do the looking at all the different ways that this bill could be expensive for the state. So yeah, I think that will be costing something.
Recently have seen diversity, equity, and inclusion as part of the debate at the state level, specifically when it came to raises for UW-Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin employees and the DEI programs at the UW level. How did you see the DEI debate in the legislature?
Well, I believe that diversity, equity, inclusion is extremely important. I believe it's important to our state, and I believe it's important to our country. It's unfortunate that Republicans decided to hold hostage a new engineering building for UW-Madison and also raises for 35,000 UW employees because they wanted to get rid of diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives from the UW-Madison, UW system. And that's a shame because Republicans passed this in the budget, the new engineering building and these raises, but they were holding it hostage because they wanted to get rid of diversity, equity, inclusion. And that's a shame, and it was a sham.
Senator Hesselbein, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
The new Senate Minority Leader, Dianne Hesselbein, representing in the state Senate parts of Dane, Iowa, Greene, Columbia, and Sauk counties. WPR is, by the way, a part of the UW system. You've been listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.